Finding this podcast magical? Why not toss a coin to your Witches and a Druid podcast through the Acast supporter feature? It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to show your support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Three Witches and a Druid Podcast, a Canadian podcast about paganism in today's modern society. And now, Three Witches and a Druid Podcast present Genka.
Sitting on the sidewalk with your head in your hand. Too old to be a boy, too tired to be a man. They never let you in on the master plan, but do you really care? Never any goals, all you wanna do is live. When you're all till there's nothing left to give. They'll be smiling in your face while they're giving you the shiv. But that's how the game is played. You're running out of alibis, you're running out of time. Life amounts to nothing when existing is a crime. There's a penance for your sins, the beginning of the end. Just as what they call poetic justice. You never found a place that you could call your own. Now you're stupid in the gutter with a trash can for a throne. No, they'll never let you rest till they pick you to the bone. But do you really care? Life amounts to nothing when existence is a crime. It's just a penance for your sin, the beginning of the end. Just what they call poetic justice. Sitting on the sidewalk with your head in your hand. A boy, too tired to be a man. Get up off your ass, it's time to make a stand. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Time is gonna come when you'll be given what you get. If you wanna learn to gamble, then you've got to learn to bet. Get the cameras ready, get the spool up on the set. Lights, camera, and action. You're running out of alibis, you're running out of time. Life amounts to something when you give yourself some time. Time has come for winning, it is just beginning.
what they call committed justice.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Three Witches and a Druid, where we sit around talking about our modern lives and our opinions and our experiences living as modern pagans. And yes, the last few episodes, we haven't talked about our beverages because we've actually had non-alcoholic beverages.
Right. Well, it's recording in the morning, but it's 12 o'clock somewhere.
That's true.
But yeah, we're drinking Espresso 46 Ethiopian blend coffee. Frederico is a god of coffee. He's amazing. This is my favorite coffee.
It is very tasty.
It is. And I normally take a lot of cream, like milk and coffee generally doesn't cut it for me. This is lovely.
Yeah. I drink this black.
Yeah.
Most of the time, I need a sweetener, but this is fine.
Anyway,
and Maeve is here drinking kitty water.
Yes.
Kitty water. Sharing it with the cat.
Yes.
I am Margot.
And I am Maeve.
Gwen.
And I'm Brian. So today's topic, we are going to discuss what we call dollar store paganism. Just the idea that paganism does not need to be expensive. It can be done on the cheap and affordably. We're not referring to just like buying stuff at the dollar store. We're going to talk about a variety of ways to get tools or things that you need, and even the idea that you don't need anything.
Again, another little mystery story. I would have folks come in and, you know, want to buy a chalice and a pentacle and an anathema, and would be like frantic almost trying to find the perfect items. And I would, you know, let them know, I would be more than happy to sell you everything. That is my job after all. But if you don't find a chalice or an athame that resonates with you, don't feel you're forced to buy something. You don't have to get it all at once. You might find something at a yard sale or a garage sale.
Yeah.
You just never know where these tools are going to show up from.
Go to your cupboard and pick out your favorite wine glass or even your favorite mug.
Yeah.
Really, I do teach that, yes, all these things are lovely, but you don't even need to have them necessarily. There's nothing you can't do. You know, athames are nice, wands are nice, but it's not. I mean, you've got to have the energy in your hand to put through there in the first place. That's the most important thing.
One of my favorite things to do is go thrifting and look for treasures. So I love going to Value Village and looking for things that can work as a chalice or a bell and such. I have this terrible story where I once bought this chalice and bell online, and I thought the bell was going to be really big and the chalice was going to be small, and that's what I was looking for, and it came out the opposite. The chalice was this massive gold cup thing. It looks like you win at a race, and then the bell was a super tiny little bell. And so when we ring the bell at ritual, because it's in our ritual case, Karen always makes fun of me because it's like ding ding.
Tinkle, tinkle, tinkle.
And I wanted like this big honking bell.
You want the old school bell. But you need a cowbell.
I'd love to have a cowbell, but we have a big school bell now. But it had this little dinky one for a long time.
That's something I don't actually even have in my
a bell
altar. Gear is a bell.
Do you know?
I get to go shopping.
If you went to, you know, a thrift store somewhere years ago, grandma's always had a little bell with, you know, china bell with a little, you know, little pattern on it or match their china or whatever. You find bells all the time. So keep your eye open there. Mm-hmm. I have a nice brass bell. That was a gift.
You know what?
A nice bell.
I lie. We don't. It's not a bell in our thing anymore. It's a big triangle.
Ah.
Like one of those dinner triangles. Yeah. But yeah, so the idea is that your ritual tools don't need to be expensive. I personally have a caveat. We were discussing this before we started recording, that I am a strong believer that things don't need to be expensive. You have to understand where your tools are coming from. So I'm a big supporter of purchasing pre-used things from Value Village, thrifting, that sort of thing. I do have a personal issue buying things online or from like in a cheapo store where the product may come from China and may be a product of, say, slave labor or
child labor
or something, because that energy then exists in that object and you're just bringing that into your ritual.
I understand what you're saying, and I get that absolutely. But if that's where you can get your candles and that's what you can afford, at least cleanse them.
Yeah.
Get a little bit of incense and cleanse them first.
Yeah.
You say bringing that energy into your ritual, but if that's what you can do, you were saying, Gwen, give it a cleanse.
Yeah.
And whatnot. I do find that a lot of times with things represented on my altar, if I can find things out in nature, oh, I need a wand, blah, you know, that's made of this and this metal and material. And no, just go find yourself a stick in the woods.
Yeah.
I've got a whole whack of cuttings from Loretta's Wisteria.
Yes.
Out on my deck that would make either perfect wands or wonderful broomstick handles or something. Mm-hmm. So we need to come up with a craft sometime.
Sorry, Rhonda.
Yeah. Sorry, Rhonda.
Well, it sounds like you have a really great workshop for the festival this summer.
Oh, man.
Well, here's an interesting idea with that. People saying crafting workshops and whatever. Even if you wanted to make a broom, but you're like, oh, I don't know how to weave all those other sticks in. You know what? You could have the stick, you know, the wisteria part of it, and just go outside and pick yourself a fern or some grass or a couple of leaves or something and tie it on each time you needed to do it freshly for your ritual.
That's a good idea.
Because a lot of us, I got one from Sky years ago for my mother, and it was all intricately this. I'm like, I can't do that.
But there's also YouTube teaching you how to, you know, find materials and make your own, and that would be another route to go.
Again, there's also crying.
Yes.
But as much as I will go buy my candles at the dollar store, no problem at all, or the votives I've been using in the four direction colors I've been using for 25 years, came from the buck store originally.
Yeah.
I won't lie. But I also do, I will admit, I have some, I don't even think they're around anymore. I have some Plum Orchard pottery.
My
chalice and my pentacle is Plum Orchard pottery. Yeah. If you can manage it, it is nice.
What's Plum Orchard?
Pottery? They were a potter that supplied Little Mysteries.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so they were a local potter.
Oh, okay.
If you can manage something, especially local.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Go to your craft fair, or, you know, if you have to save for a while, you know, if you really want that chalice, you know, find some nice pottery, save for a bit. I think something you were saying about, oh, yeah, I'll sell it to you. Don't think you have to have it all at once.
Well, that's sort of what I meant.
Biggie,
you don't have to outfit your altar all at once. You can wait until, you know, you find something you can use as anathema at a garage sale somewhere, or find your chalice at a thrift store and, you know, give everything a good cleanse, because you want them to be beautiful to you. Mm-hmm. You want them to connect to you. You don't want to just go buy like the first $10 knife you see just because you have to have anathema and then really feel like it doesn't mean anything to you, and you're not getting any energy from it or able to give any energy to it.
Or if you have your eye on something that maybe is a bit expensive, you know, a chalice or whatever the case might be, just use your own wine glass until you've saved some money. Yeah. Don't string yourself out and go wildly into debt on your credit card if it's not the reasonable thing to do.
And there are kitchen witches as well who do all their tools come out of their kitchen. This is my favorite knife that I use for chopping vegetables every day. This is the knife I use to do my magic as well. Because then that energy is being transferred into my everyday life as well.
Yes.
Something Gwen had mentioned before we started recording was trading.
Yeah. It's really common in the artisan community where it's sort of a craft for a craft. You make deals. The shows shut down. The events close and you look around, you go, I really love your stuff. And somebody says, I really like your stuff. And before you know it, you've been able to trade. But I know many years ago when I had a different schedule, Maeve and I would trade, and she would take good care of me and give me breakfast, and I would give her a Reiki treatment once a week. And that went on for
A long time.
A long, long time. And it was really lovely for me because Dave would be at work. I had company for a meal that I didn't have to make. And she's a lovely cook. And you probably would not have been in a position to fork out that cash at that time in your life.
It wasn't for
a weekly Reiki treatment, which I totally understand. You have to respect, of course, that everybody has bills to pay, but there will be opportunities to give value for an item of value for yourself. And maybe your skills are in the kitchen. Maybe you can child mind for somebody.
I was a child minder, or would you like me to give your bathroom a good scrub down? I've done that more than once. It's like, I'll scrub the daylights out of your bathroom. I'll give you anything you want. Yeah. Scrub my bathroom, you know? And don't feel if you're not a crafty or an artisan person, you don't have something to offer.
Yes,
yeah? Exactly. Because you certainly can, especially child minding.
Yeah.
Yes.
Especially child minding. Why don't you and your friend or significant other go out to the movies and dinner for a night, and I'll come sit with your kid, you know, and in return, if you make this, why don't you give me that?
And those things are hard to do on a general basis, but that means you're creating intimate connections with your local community. You maybe wouldn't offer that to somebody you'd never met someplace.
Yes,
and those sorts of things. But this is a way that also draws communities together, these sharing of skills and gifts.
Yeah. I have a trade with a local artisan for a broom, and she needed a sign made for her craft. So we're doing that trade, and the broom is stunning, and I'm very excited to get it at some point.
That's so awesome. Yeah.
I would love that. I saw those pentagrams you were making out there. You're burning up. Yep. If I thought a night or two of babysitting your kid would get me one of those, I'd be over in a minute.
We can arrange that. He likes you too, so it works.
There's that sort of another aspect, which I sort of hadn't really thought about the environmental impacts of before, but I do have very fond memories of a big van load of us on going down to the valley and staying at Maeve's parents overnight before heading off to the gathering. Six of us stopping in at the dollar store and buying accoutrements for the weekend, whether it was, you know, headbands with sparkly pom-poms on them or...
I still have mine when we came in our gang colors. I still have mine because I'm such a pack rat.
And decorations for the campsite. And I mean, I think that is what instigated the whole golden pine cone fanciest campsite situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, sitting here talking about it, thinking, again, I have no idea where my headband might have went. So in doing that, we have created landfill, unfortunately. So to think about what you're going to do with those items after the gathering, I guess. Right. But you still have yours. It's a memento.
Years and years ago. Yeah. I still have mine. Actually, I have several things like that stuck in a drawer in my bedroom, because on the days when I really, really feel like I'd rather shoot myself than do the housework, I'll put on a crown. That's not a joke. I have a crown or two that I put on and do the housework in. I know
there's nothing wrong with that. Karen has Mickey Mouse ears that she wears. I'm pretty sure we still have our camp decorations from years past.
Yeah. To get them out again.
Yeah.
I'm more so a big supporter of thrifting.
Yes.
So I like I said, I like going treasure hunting and antique stores too. Antique stores is a bit of a higher price.
Yeah.
But sometimes you can get a deal. You can find, if you find something with enough dust on it, you can haggle a little. But yeah, I'm a big fan of Value Village, Frenchies.
Even as far as ritual wear goes.
Yeah. Oh, I have so many Frenchie dresses.
I mean, my clothing only comes from thrifting.
Yeah.
My budget apparently goes on shoes. And I wore one of my thrifted semi-ritual kind of dresses that I found. And again, I found it at Frenchie's. It was $3 or $4. I thought, even if it doesn't fit me or I don't wear it, somebody in the community can use it. Mm-hmm. It's a gorgeous ritual styled gown. So you can buy and find things you need. A beautiful pair of curtains can be turned into a robe easily enough, which I meant to bring my Celtic robe this past weekend and totally forgot it.
I have one. I have a beautiful robe you made. That yes. one that you swore a lot on.
That was the first one I ever made. And your mom got in contact with me and asked me if I would make one.
And it's double-sided and it had to be done on a sideways bias or whatever it was. It was crazy. It's a beautiful robe though. Beautiful. Yeah. I'm very lucky. And don't think that you can't make your own things too.
No, and that's something I was going to bring up next. Biggie. We were talking about wands. Gwen here has gifted me a large box of Dave's wand blanks. So I've been making wands. Uh-huh. But some of my favorite wands are often branches or twigs I find. And I'm able to warp and shape into a wand. Like I have a piece of apple tree on our altar. And that's my favorite wand. And everyone's like, it's just a stick. I'm like, the stick I spent a lot of time on.
Yeah, and it's made of exactly. And it's from an apple and tree.
It's from our apple tree.
Again, sort of what makes something your tool. To somebody else, it is just a stick.
Yeah.
To somebody else, it's just a knife. To somebody else, it's just a wine glass. But to me, this is my magical item.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it important. And that's what makes it powerful.
So something in Druidry, we use, instead of using athames, we have sickles. And I've collected sickles from antique shops and restored them. So we have a sickle that gets passed on from senior druid to senior druid. And that's the senior druid sickle. But I have my own personal sickle too. Mm-hmm. It's pretty big and looks intimidating, but I don't think it's very sharp. I'm not going to test that.
It's like, is it a grim reaper to grim? Join the group just for the tools? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, right. You get a sickle, cool. You get to drink mead and burn shit. Well, yeah. That's a great religion.
Yeah.
Right? That's what you're burning right now, but burn shit. I do everything. Listen, everyone loves burning shit.
For me, and I've seen it in other people, so, you know, mileage may vary. But my entry into the craft involved that experience of reading a few books. Like, this is the me coming from a homesteading. I read mythology and history, and I had my one Sybil Leek book. And then I came to the city, and here was Little Mysteries. And I had access to all this Llewellyn stuff, right? Yes. And then I got into the better stuff. But, you know, I got into this beginner
Llewellyn
type stuff.
Was the perfect stepping stone for everybody.
It was the entryway drug, yeah. Wasn't it? And I did. I wanted to buy. I felt like I needed everything. So then I watched this evolution of as I went. Then I kind of went hardcore the other way. And I went maybe a year or two where I was like, no, it's in me, that energetic, that magical experience is in me. You don't need any shit. It's all supposed to be in my brain. And of course, that's a lot of ego and everything else, because why do you not want beautiful things around you anyway? And so I did almost no tools in my personal expression of faith, maybe a candle, but that's about it. And then I came back around saying, I want to surround myself with beautiful things. And if something facilitates and makes that, and that's what tools are there for, right? Yep. They're to make that experience stronger and easier, all those things. So I came back around, and by this time, Dave's artistry had shifted and he was doing more faith-based work. And we were meeting a lot of people with lovely crafting and artistic abilities and made wonderful things. And I was being a lot more judicious. And now I have these things that I love, but I am finding that my practice has changed again. And I want to be really embedded in this Nova Scotia environment that we live in. Mm-hmm. And so I am doing that. This herb from my garden, this wood from here, this stone. Instead of working with these maybe beautiful Brazilian amethysts, I'm working from that amethyst of lesser quality that I found, you know, in Scott's Bluff, or yeah. I'm working with the gravel in my actual driveway sort of thing for its properties, because I want my experience to be more embodied. So I think also none of this is a lifetime commitment. Your practice will change.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I find that too. And this is something I didn't come to till much later. I didn't pay much attention to it. But here in Halifax, Nova Scotia, we're very much sitting on a gigantic, we're basically sitting on a slab of granite.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Halifax is, and surrounding areas is just a giant slab of granite with some soil on top. what are the properties of granite?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How can you bring that into your life and into your practice? And a lot of that, I do know that it also happens here more frequently than you think. People switch the elemental correspondences because here the east is water.
Yes.
And the west would be more air as you go across the prairies.
Yeah.
And whatnot. So people often will switch the elemental association.
That goes so, back to the conversation of your location determines a lot of
yes,
these things.
Yes, a lot of these things. And I've always been, but this is another thing, and I will say, we've probably said it already, just finding things around you in nature. You can find shells on the beach if you live near the water. You can find particular rocks or leaves or, you know, just anything that's around. You never know what you might find.
Yeah.
I have a piece off of a tree or a piece of stick shaped like a skull sitting in my, on my, you know, on the windowsill in my kitchen. I do find, too, that, you know, I don't have a specific altar set up because I have a lot of people running through my house. So don't feel too, you have to have a corner specifically dedicated in your home. You can have everything packed away, set it up when you need. But I find I look around, it's like, oh, this is a bunch of plants over here. And oh, look, I have candles over here. And I have, you know, crystals and little skull thing and seeds drying on my windowsill. You'll have little things all over.
Mini altars that
mini altars everywhere.
Yeah.
You have mini altars everywhere. You know, your wind chimes, if you have them outside, just all kinds of things that happens and you don't even realize you're doing it. So take a look around your house. You might have been setting up mini altars all over.
Yep.
And we realize it.
We have a fairly large altar in our home, but only because it's a spot in the home that can't really be used for anything else. It's an old stairwell, which is blocked off. So we use the stairs as our altar. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for that, probably wouldn't have an altar in a home because we just don't have the room for it.
Yeah. And you also have to be careful with kids. If you've got kids, to have your altar set up. Do you want that $100 chalice busted by your kids, you know, playing in the living room?
Yeah.
You be careful of that sort of thing too. Yeah. And kids too. Children are always endlessly curious and they'll want to play with it and touch it and play with it. And maybe there's things there they shouldn't be playing with.
Yeah.
You don't leave your athame sitting out there. It's nice and sharp where your three-year-old can be playing with it.
Yeah.
Friend of ours, Oceana. Again, I'm here. I'm having flash memories of times past, but we had children of a similar age. And there was a story of one of her children who had taken one of the candles in the and the light at the wand of power off the off the altar. Nobody had realized that just at the time. And so there was this mad running down the stairs and she threw the wand of power at her. And she said, "You shouldn't leave these things out where kids can get into them." And Oceana was like, "Oh," ran up the stairs and there was a little fire under the bed.
Oh, wow.
So, yes, kids watch, they mimic.
Yeah.
And so be careful.
Yeah. Like on our altar, there's three little toy goats and every kid that's ever come in his house grabs those toy goats.
Yeah.
It's like, we have to put them back every time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I guess that the conclusion here is maybe not from China, might not be, you know, the sweatshops in China, but I won't lie. I do. My candles come from the dollar store.
No, like I said, there's not necessarily anything wrong with it. It's whatever works best for you. I think what I'm more referring to is like, if you look on Amazon and you find a beautiful cloak and it's like, $30. It's like, there's a reason that's $30.
Mm-hmm. And it's also not going to so be beautiful.
It's not going to be as beautiful as it looks. Yeah. Slightly off topic, but since like Karen and I collect various oddities and objects, Atticus is huge into this. So his room is covered in various stones and crystals and rocks. Yeah. And he has a crystal ball in there. And one of this conversation reminds me of that story where somebody went into a store and it's like, yeah, I really want to buy this crystal ball. And the old lady behind the counter is, okay, whatever you do when you're done using it, you have to put the cloth over it and make sure it's not visible to the light. And they're like, oh, is that because somebody can look back? And they're like, no, because it'll burn your house down. Like, if the light hits that, you'll die. Don't do that.
Well, that's very good. Well, look, thank you all very much for tuning in. We're always happy to be sharing with you. And if you have any questions or comments, you can certainly contact us on our Facebook page. And we are always looking for suggestions for new shows to keep things fresh and interesting.
Hello, beloved listeners and patrons of Three Witches and a Druid podcast. We would like to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude for your unwavering support of our podcast. With your encouragement, we have been able to explore and celebrate the rich and diverse world of paganism and spirituality. We feel blessed to have had the opportunity to share our knowledge and experiences with you. As we continue to grow and evolve, we invite you to join us on this journey and become a Patreon member of our podcast. Your contribution will help us to continue creating quality content and provide you with more exciting episodes filled with wisdom, insights, and a little enchantment. By becoming a Patreon member, you will not only support our mission, but you will also have access to exclusive content, behind-the-scenes goodies, discounts, and much, much more. Together, we can create a thriving and supportive community. To our amazing Patreons who have been there to support us through the past 3 seasons, Sybil, Josie, Catherine, Nicole, Amy Beth, Tomlin, Samantha, Stephanie, Chris, Ramos, Eric, Karen, Highland Horde, Danny, Tania, Sarah, Kay, Linda, and Jennifer. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts for being a part of our Three Witches and a Druid family. Let us continue to inspire and uplift each other, and may our collective energy bring light and love to the world.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everybody take care, and I hope you're having a good summer. So until next time, everyone, merry meet.
Merry part.
And merry meet again.
Blessed be.
This has been Three Witches and a Druid podcast. Thanks for listening.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.